I'm Leah Simone Bowen, the host of Podcast Playlist on CBC. We're a podcast discovery show, and we love a great story. So each week, we highlight the podcasts we think you should check out.
The show is a classic.
Love how they select their topics.
It's great.
And from time to time, we're joined by some of the biggest names in podcasting.
My name is Jamie Loftus.
John Green.
I'm Michael Hobbs.
My name is Nicole Byer, and I have a podcast recommendation.
You can find Podcast Playlist on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hey, I'm Tom Power. Welcome to Q. Thanks a lot for downloading or streaming this. If I sound like I have a bit of a cold today, oh boy, I do. I hope you can't tell too much anyway. But on with the show. Have you ever found yourself as a bit of a fish out of water? Maybe you go to another country or a town or a culture and it takes a little while for you to get adjusted. It could be something simple like, you know, driving on the other side of the road or, you know, understanding an accent. But then there's also cultural norms, whether or not you barter, how you joke around with somebody, the level of sarcasm used in a culture. I know that moving up here, I keep on saying, like, what are you at to people on the mainland? And they go like, good. So, you know, I get it. So all this leads to me telling you about this new film called French Girl. It's this Quebecois-American film. It stars the Quebecois actor Evelyn Brochu, but also big Hollywood stars like Zach Braff and Vanessa Hudgens. Evelyn plays a chef who is chasing her dream job. She's living in New York, and she gets a job offer at the Chateau Frontenac in Quebec City.
I've been asked to interview for the executive chef position at the Frontenac.
The Frontenac, that's amazing. That's a new place in Greenpoint, right? I don't know what they cook. I know it's fusion. They fuse something.
No, it's the Chateau Frontenac in Quebec City.
Quebec City, Canada.
But as you can hear there, chasing that dream means having to leave New York and move to Quebec with her American boyfriend. And then he has to get used to living in Quebec and Quebecois society and the French language. And Evelyn talks about this in a beautiful way, the dynamics of a French family, of a Quebecois family. So you're going to hear my conversation with Evelyn Brochu about this. If you don't know her, big career in Quebec, been in big movies by like directors like Denis Villeneuve and Xavier Dolan. Outside of Quebec, she's been in big shows like Orphan Black and X Company. She joined me from her home in Montreal to talk about how language informs the roles that she takes on. And yeah, how the Fresh Prince has helped her out. Here's our conversation.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Thanks for asking. You know, I'm doing okay. This is a really congrats on the film, by the way.
Thank you.
It's a really interesting film. So it's based on my understanding of it is that it's based on the lives of the film's two directors. Both of their fathers were English men who fell in love with French Canadian women, moved to Quebec to start their families. And when you got the script for the film, you said something like you knew the directors and they knew you. What do you mean by that?
I'm somebody's French girl. I'm a French Canadian woman who's married to an Anglo guy, and I'm from the West Island. So, for those who don't know Montreal, it's the part of the city that's perhaps a little bit more Anglophone. So, even though I went to French school, I had a lot of that English culture around me. I was dating English boys. I was so for me that sort of world that sort of swings both ways has always been a part of my life, and I got that like bicultural zone of their, I got their sense of humor and I for some reason I was like, I think this might be me.
Did they know that when they cast you in this, or did you tell them about the similarities you saw in your life when you got this role?
It's so weird. It was a Zoom audition. It was the pandemic. And sometimes those are very unromantic and you're trying to convey this, like this love that you have, this understanding that you have, but it was automatic. Those two guys they're actors, they're joyful enthusiasts, they're good directors. And we clicked. And I think they felt that I got them and I definitely felt like they got me.
Did you tell them, hey, you know, I'm also someone else's, I think as you put it, I'm someone else's French girlfriend?
Yeah. And I went all in. I was like, I'm also from Quebec City, which is true. It's my my hometown. You've seen the movie Mammy Tremblay. Our grandmother plays a big part in this rom-com, and I'm super close to my mammy. We premiered the film in Quebec City last night. She was there. We stayed at the chateau. That was sort of my dream chateau when I was young. So I had I said it all because I felt like, you know, something like that doesn't happen that often.
It's not something that I've seen you in before, though, a film like this. I mean, I should say for people who don't know, like the your character, Sophie, leaves New York to go for a job at the Chateau Frontenac in Quebec City. Quebec's home to Sophie. Her boyfriend, who's played by Zach Braff, is a bit of a fish out of water there. It's a film with a lot of physical comedy in it. And I think I mainly know you from like dramatic roles. And we can talk about some of those dramatic roles later. But how did it feel to take on comedy here?
Weirdly, the two directors, James and Nick, said they wanted to get dramatic actors for the Quebec family anyhow, because for them, it's funny when it's true, is what they said. And so I was just really happy to sort of be on the lighter side of things. I had just finished a really deep and intense series, and I was just, it was sunny. We were outside. We were laughing. There was a lot of improv on set, a lot of that liveliness that you get from the movie, that sort of real life, sort of everything's buzzing at the same time, like especially with the big family scenes, they were so fun to do. I just felt like I was at a party for, you know, 16-hour days.
but you had sort of come from a pretty intense kind of hard role that you were able to kind of like shed in order to be able to do this.
Oh yeah, I easily shed it. I spent a week in Halifax with my family, and that sort of family time and salty air and swimming, and just, it was magical. And I think I was ready for a change of tone. I'm not one to I carry the joy I had doing the things I did. I mean, when I finish a project, I miss the people, but I don't stay in the zone, especially when it's a dark one. So I was ready for, and also there was so much to love, you know, about the project. There was something in the way it looks at Quebec women, especially in Quebec families as well, that was so tender, and it matched so much what I love about what we are and who we are, and I just couldn't wait to be a part of that with such amazing actors as Luc Picard and Isabelle Vincent. I mean, it was a dream family. You kind of want to be in that family. You want to spend Christmas with the Tremblays.
Hey, no. Tu m'as bien que pas ta mère.
Hey, voyons donc, madame l'experte.
Jamais que tu t'as appris, toi.
C'est la même place que toi.
Mamie.
Un corps de tâche par livre de bœuf.
Voilà. Mamie, tu tricotes encore ton foulard dans ton châle. Alphonse, peux-tu venir aider ta mère?
Oui. Tell me more about that, like the way it looked at Quebec women and Quebec families. Like, what did you notice?
There's something a sensual and goofy and real and joyful, and le mot c'est solidaire, like together and warm-hearted and light-spirited, that I see in the Quebec families that I know and love. I definitely see my mom and the mom character. She's got this quirky sort of romantic, sees everything, knows everything, says everything, but like a bit like under the leg. Is that an expression in English? I don't know. Just kind of like slips it.
You know what it is in. Now? We could say that it is.
Yeah, it's just under the leg. You know?
I'm going to make that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, let's do it.
one of the things that strikes me is that, so the film itself is sort of about, the mixing of these two cultures, right? The American culture and the Quebecois culture. But then that also happened in real life behind the scenes. I mean, you had these big, you know, Hollywood stars like Zach Braff and Vanessa Hudgens. And then these like pretty massive Quebecois stars as well, like, you know, Luc Picard and Antoine Olivier Piron. How was that? I mean, obviously I know everyone got along. And if they didn't, I don't know if you'd tell me about it. But tell me a little bit of something about those worlds coming together.
It's funny. We met in a restaurant, which is kind of like, you know, matches with the energy of the movie that I think Nick and James wanted to convey, that like sort of foodie, you know, scrumptious, lively world of a Quebecois restaurant. And so I was, you know, I'm a huge Zach Braff fan since Garden State, and I was nervous, but obviously he was such a gentleman and so warm and so into the movie. I think when you have something in common, like a project that everybody can't wait to jump into, that sort of made it super easy. And also the energy of Nick and James, again, they're just so festive, so You just can't help it. They give back so much. There's so much joy in the way they work. They open the door for anybody's ideas. There's no wrong answers right from the get-go. It was easy to also have chemistry with Zach because, you know, sometimes that happens, sometimes that doesn't. I think it's important for a rom-com that it does, and in our case, it did. And that was just also, I guess, it was pretty magical. And you know, it was funny. It was the first day that Vanessa came on. I was also a bit, you know, nervous. But she's just so cool. But she's also, you know, so driven and ambitious. And I admire her so much for that. And so we just shook hands. And the first time we met, it wasn't at a restaurant. She wasn't there the restaurant night. It was the actual day we were doing the Polaroids that Zach Braff's character falls upon when he visits my teenage bedroom. And so we're like, okay, hey, what's up? Let's get in our PJs and cuddle. It just went so smoothly. She was just so warm, so easy, and it all gelled so well.
Were there things that you had to translate for them, though? Like, I mean, these folks were coming in, you know, I'm sure with like some knowledge of Quebec and some knowledge of the province and the culture, you know, just by virtue of taking on the script. But were there things you had to sort of explain to them?
They shot here many times, so they knew their way around the city. They knew the spots. You know, Vanessa went to La Ronde and Zach went to Chez José on Duluth, which is for me the most Montreal place ever. It's the ultimate Montreal little cafe. Sometimes, you know, the weird thing is that because we're all bilingual, sometimes it felt like they were just like us, and we would switch back and forth, and they would just have to remind us, like, hey, by the way, guys, we don't understand those little words that you like put in. But it just made for, you know, funny situations. They picked it up so well. I think it's the, you know, Vanessa's musical ear, and Zach also, I think, grew up around a Haitian nanny. She was speaking French and Creole, and I just wonder if those, you know, they were so good at pretending to be French that we believe them. Pretending to speak French, not to be French.
I'm Tom Power. You're listening to Q. More of my conversation with Evelyn Brochu coming up.
Hi, I'm Willa Paskin, the host of Decoder Ring, Slate's podcast about cracking cultural mysteries. On Decoder Ring, we dive down rabbit holes and obsessively explore questions hiding in plain sight. Like, why has slow dancing gone out of style? And when did we all become obsessed with hydration? And where did the word mullet, you know, to describe a hairstyle, come from? That's Decoder Ring, named one of the best podcasts of 2023 by the New York Times. Listen to new episodes every 2 weeks and make sure to follow us so you never miss one.
I'm Tom Power. You're listening to Q. You're in the middle of my conversation with the Quebecois film and television actor Evelyn Brochu. We've been talking about the new film French Girl, which is in both English and French. And I was sort of interested in that because I remember one time I had a conversation with a friend of mine, bilingual, lives in Montreal, who told me she's completely bilingual, except she's not as funny in French as she is in English. So I wanted to ask Evelyn, when it comes to like taking on roles, does language matter? Are there things she can do in one language that she can't do in another? Here's what she said.
It's funny. I also feel, I agree with your friend. I also feel like I'm a little bit less smart. Like I feel, I was excited about talking to you today. You're my husband's, you know, superhero. He was like, you're so lucky. And I was like, yeah, but it's in English. And he's like, there's that, like that 10% less, just you're just a little bit less quick. You hesitate a little more, and that's, I mean, I'm still learning. I'm still working on it, and I love the English language, and I thank God have this amazing boyfriend that sort of teaches me more every day. But in terms of roles, I remember I don't know how I got that audition, but it was for Fargo, and I was trying to get the accent, and I was like, you know what, Mark, I can do all kinds of French, but I can't do all kinds of English. I can do a standard this and a standard that, but if when it's that specific, it's like it just, I'm so in my brain that I can't be connected to those places that you need to be connected to convey truth and soul and poetry and whatever you want to, you know, be connected to when you're in a scene, and it has to vibrate and feel real, and you can't just be in your head and in your mouth, you know?
I mean, do you mean like accent wise? Like, do you feel like, do you mean that you can do like, hey, you can do Northern Quebec versus Parisian French versus
or
Montreal
Southern
French?
French versus, there's a variety of French that I can tap into and feel comfortable and let the character be. I feel like some of those really specific English languages, and I was like, this is such a great opportunity, but I can't land it. I'm not there yet. But in terms of French Girl and her English, that was a gift to me, because I feel like I was exactly in the zone that I am with my level of English and my, it's Evelyne Brochu speaking English in that movie. And I felt like it allowed me to take Sophie into that place where I wanted her to be sort of an easy, lighthearted, I keep saying that word, but joyful personality. And I could totally tap out of that. Did that sound okay? Was that sound okay? Do you say it that way? And like, it's really nice.
Well, if it's any consolation, I'm about 10% slower all the time. So don't worry too much about that.
Slow is good.
I wonder if you could tell me the story that I found really interesting about you, about how you got into acting in the first place. That you were studying theater and dance in Cégep, which for people who are listening to this in the US, mm-hmm. is Quebec's first level of kind of post-secondary education. And you had an accident that prevented you from pursuing dance and sort of made you become an actor. Can you tell me that story?
It's like a bunch of stories baked into one. I think I got into acting because I loved novels so much that I wanted to live them. And when I tried theater in high school, I felt like that was the closest thing to jumping into a novel. I also was, you know, the only daughter of a single mom. And I think I lacked a bit of that big family or community feeling. And I was desperate for a gang, for a club, for a group. I still am. I love the sort of how communal our craft is.
So am I completely off in this, like, information I sort of gathered about some kind of like accident that you had? Or
I had an accident after the conservatory. I had no agent. I had one little play lined up. And I think 5 days after I graduated, I got a huge bike accident. I saw all my classmates, all the like hungry horses race off. And I was just, you know, sitting there. And then eventually I got back on my feet, and magically this person remembered me from a thing I did at the Conservatoire and offered me my first play. And then this TV producer who was, you know, kind of like from that era where casting directors and producers used to go to the theater and find people. I'm lucky this person found me, gave me my first TV gig, and then eventually I auditioned for Denis Villeneuve.
I mean, the audition for Denis is an interesting one, because in 2009, we're talking about Polytechnique, you know, which was, for people who don't know, based on the 1989 massacre at Ecole Polytechnique. Denis Villeneuve, who we're talking about right now, is now, like, you know, the biggest director in the world for Dune Part 2 and Arrival and stuff like that. Can you tell me a little bit about, I guess, how you were feeling going into that audition, knowing what the film was about, and a little bit about what that meant to you to be part of it?
It was such a difficult topic for all of us. There's an anecdote that comes to mind, and I'm going to tell it to you because it sort of answers your question. The gun guy on Polytechnique was having so much trouble handling that gun. He was like, usually my guns are fictional, and this gun represents a gun that's done true harm. And I'm super uncomfortable. And he gave all of the women on set a white rose. I'm going to cry. It was so beautiful. And I think we all have that sense of, let's make sure we do this right, because it did happen, and it shouldn't have. And it was beautiful to watch a genius at work, because those challenges were there every day, and how he sort of made sure he so creatively and tactfully went around those challenges. Like, for example, the use of black and white, I think, was so tasteful. How to make this thing that's super harsh a tiny bit less harsh, and how to make it art and not a documentary. And I think for me that was a really smart choice. I have very, very strong memories from that set, from the chance I got to work alongside him. And I feel like seeing genius at work, or even seeing genius, I mean, when you go to a hockey game and something some genius sequence happens, or seeing a musician live, or I think that's, to me, the closest thing to magic. Yeah.
How did it feel when it came out? I mean, it must have felt scary a little bit, knowing that you were telling the story and it was going to be sort of released to the public.
Mm-hmm. But I knew everything had been done to make it right. I think Denis, really wanted to make it right. I just remember the policeman that shared. He was like, "I'm not supposed to do this, but I want this to be right because my friend's daughter died that day." And so he shared everything with us, the plan of the school, pictures. So we carried that story as much as we could, as if it was, you know, ours. And so and with so much respect. And so in a way it was scary, but in another way it was meaningful and had to be done. I think when stories are shared and told, hopefully it can prevent them, or at least give us a whole new level of empathy, which I think art does, and it might be its most noble purpose.
I would agree with you on that. You know, it's sort of an amazing journey you've had. But I was struck by something we were talking about earlier. We were talking a little bit about how, like, your approach to English and French, and, you know, how you, and even at the very beginning of our conversation, you were talking to me a little bit about how you sort of knew what it was like to grow up, you know, French, but, you know, dating and folks who are Anglo and, like, spending time, you know, with them. There was a story I heard about you that you learned English in part thanks to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Is that right?
That is so true. And I was having trouble. I needed a way in, and my way in was crushing on Will Smith. I was just watching it it was so colorful and hilarious. I didn't get all the jokes. I didn't get anybody's name at first. I was like, okay, wait. And then I was like, wait a minute, I'm getting the names. This guy, this is Carlton, this is Hillary. Okay, I got this. And a year later, I was like, guys, I'm totally understanding this language. And it was my way in. And I'm so thankful and grateful for that wonderful show.
Was there sort of one episode that
oh man, the dad episode.
That's the one where Will Smith, dad comes back, right?
And the dad doesn't show up. I'm going to cry again. Ooh, what are you doing to me? And Uncle Phil steps in. And just that, how some figures are not the ones that you expect, but people are angels, and they're, you know, they step up, and how precious that is. And it was a one, you know, it was like a 5-minute sequence without a joke, and they were all so good. I'm crying talking about it. It's ridiculous.
No, I understand it. It's that scene where, you know, Will's father has come back and he leaves again, and he's left by himself, and Uncle Phil
after
is
making
there.
A whole bunch of promises and give him so much hope, and he's disappointed.
And, yeah. And Uncle Phil says, you know, hugs him, and then Will says, you know, why did he leave me? Why did he leave me again?
Yeah.
Will.
Now, you know what, Uncle Phil? I'm gonna get through college without him. I'm going to get a great job without him. I'm going to marry me a beautiful honey. And I'm going to have me a whole bunch of kids. I'm going to be a better father than he ever was. And I sure as hell don't need him for that. Because ain't a damn thing he could ever teach me about how to love my kids. How come he don't want me, man?
Are you trying to make me cry some more?
No, but I guess I'm wondering, like, I was originally asking you that question because I was like, oh, what did you learn about English from that? But I'm realizing, I think it hit you on another level.
It did. It really did. I think what was cool about that journey too, aside from, you know, that the power of where a crush can take you, is that I grew up in Quebec, where we talked a lot about the two solitudes. And I wondered about that. I was like, why don't we get to know each other? Like, why don't we date each other? Like, why aren't we more curious? And like, what's this divide? And I feel like in my life, I've succeeded, and I feel like around me, I don't see that divide. I don't feel it. And I have an Anglo boyfriend that watches Tout le monde en parle, and I get his Seinfeld jokes. And, you know, our kids have French first names and Anglo last name. And I feel like we're the proof that that two solitudes era is over.
I mean, this, if you're not speaking to the film in that answer, I don't really know what is. Such a pleasure to get the chance to talk to you today. Thanks so much for the time.
Merci. Merci tant.
Evelyne Brochu is a Quebecois actor. She stars in the movie French Girl, which is out in select theaters now. The other conversation we have up today is with an amazing choreographer out of Ottawa, Emma Portner, one of the most in-demand choreographers in the world right now. At 8, 9, 10 years old, she sort of had an awareness that she might not be as good a dancer as she could have, as others around her. And she decided to start getting interested in choreography long before anyone else. That's led to her becoming this really in-demand choreographer. But after not being able to go to the National Ballet of Canada when she was a young student, she's now going back to the National Ballet of Canada, as she says, through the back door as a choreographer, really breaking down the traditions of ballet. Even if ballet is not your thing, she has a really interesting way of talking about stuff like the tutu and how getting rid of it is meaningful. Go check that out on this podcast, wherever you got this one. We'll see you soon, later on.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.